Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast where we talk about what's big, sad, and fun in the week of sports. My name is James. I'm here with Edward. Edward, we have a special kind of show today
because
there's a lot going on in
sports.
It's
kind of like, you know, one of the things that like real journalists complain about, like, you know, a news dump where like everything comes out all
at once.
Right.
That's right.
We had that once in sports world and everyone lost their collective minds.
We've got like 15 different topics today. We're going to alter our structure a little bit today.
Because like any one of these, any other week is our big.
That's right.
But this week it's... there's too much. So we're just going to kind of run down all of the headlines and decide if we see it as big, sad, or fun.
I'll throw them out. You tell me if they're big, sad, or fun.
And then we're going to discuss them.
Yeah. Then we'll discuss them, right? So let's start with something close to home for you as a Falcons fan.
Yeah.
And something happened this week. Big, sad, or fun. Archer Smith
gonna
gets
go with
released.
because, like...
Let me ask you this. Before you say anything else about it being sad, was it unexpected?
No.
It was pretty much a disaster last Sunday.
Yeah.
Final game.
And, you know, I mean, I think it was just kind of more of the same.
Yeah.
You know, our
defense. It looked good until halftime.
Yeah, and then our defense got tired because our offense can't stay on the field for longer than 5 minutes.
That's exactly what happened.
And our offense can't stay on the field because our quarterback isn't very good at football.
And you don't know how to use Bijan Robinson.
I mean, we give him a good amount of touches.
You didn't give him enough. You gave him less than... I mean, you gave him...
The problem is also we have two really good running backs.
I saw somewhere he ranked like number 11, maybe, in league.
Well, but also, I think there's a reason why every other running back in the country doesn't make it to a second contract.
Well, if you don't make it to a second season, it doesn't matter if you make a second contract, right? I mean, if you're the head coach...
He's going to see more accumulation.
All right. That's not how this works, man.
So, no, he said something mid-season, and we're off topic now, but he said, like, you know... He said he thought he was putting too much on him early, and so that's why he kind of dialed
back. That's how you win games.
Well, but it was more like he was putting a lot on him in the passing game.
You got a Ferrari sitting in the garage because you're too worried about putting too many miles on it.
Yeah.
You should have never got this Ferrari.
That's what Nick Saban does.
Well,
he drives his Ferrari.
Nick Saban doesn't do anything.
He drives his Ferrari
on
Tuesdays when it's not raining.
Well, let me tell you this. You wasted your pick on this kid. That's my assessment of the Falcons. Like, you don't know how to use them. You're not going to use them. It's not early.
It's one year into his career.
I'm not talking about his talent.
Oh.
I'm talking about the way you use them.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to do that, you should have just gone with the guys you had.
Well, I mean, I would say we probably should have gone with Jalen Carter.
Yeah. I think everyone in the league probably feels that way now.
And I mean, I think Bijan would be great, and I think.
But this is one of the reasons why Arthur Smith is no longer employed by the Falcons.
I think the main reason is just a bad quarterback. Like, I think if we have a better quarterback, this team's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if we weren't forced to go get Deshaun Watson, or if we weren't forced to go try and get Deshaun
Watson, he might
be
available again.
Not with that contract. Man. But yeah, I mean, I think overall it's sad. Someone lost a job, and there's no clear direction for the franchise right now.
Well, let's talk about what the unclear direction then is for the franchise. Many different coordinators and coaches are available now.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a couple of them in a minute, but before we get into that,
I mean,
do you have anyone in your mind on your radar that you kind of favor at this moment?
Is this question who do I want or who do I think we'll get?
Either way.
I would love the OC in Detroit. I think Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I might have his name wrong, but I would love him. I think he would be great.
Yeah, you think he'd fit the system that has no quarterback?
Well, I think whoever takes over this team is going to have to get a quarterback.
Okay, so that's problem number one.
Like, I think you're going to have to draft one or
my sources are telling me. All right, my sources deep within the NFL are telling me that it looks more and more likely that Chicago is going to get rid of Justin Fields one way or the other.
So did you see, and I don't know if it's true, once again, that Caleb Williams is saying, like, if they're not trading it, he's going to stay in college?
He's got till Monday to make that decision.
Yeah.
He's got till tomorrow. He's got till tomorrow to make
that
decision.
I mean,
that'll be interesting to see what happens.
Now, I could see them.
But even if it's not Caleb Williams, it's the other kid from the other place.
The Drake May. And now, but like, it could be interesting. Like, if I was them, man, I would trade that and then collect assets to build around Justin Fields.
The issue is you're going to have to pay Justin Fields here pretty soon.
But like, if you
why not start over, have
younger,
him in 5 years?
Because then you're going to have to pay him in five. Like, at some point, you're going to have to pay the pay. A
paying
guy.
Him 5 years is different than paying him next year.
Yeah, but right. I mean, yeah. It's
there's a big difference there.
But why not? Like, you have a guy now. You have something.
Do
you
we
know
that? Do they think that?
Well, I mean, I'm not them.
Right.
But like, I think we've seen.
Do you know any Chicago fans?
No.
Okay, I don't either. I was going to say, can we ask them?
But, you know, like, I think we've seen enough good there.
Yeah. There's something to build on.
I mean, I think
but wouldn't
his,
you really
his problem is more there's no offensive line.
Wouldn't you want to see him building here in Atlanta?
100%.
Would you like to see that?
100%.
That would solve your quarterback problem.
But if, I mean, if we're not dealing in fairy tale land.
I don't think that's a fairy tale. I think that's a real possibility.
It's like it's going to depend on if they're trading him or not.
Yeah.
I hope they are.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think we could get him for, you know, a second and third.
Is there another quarterback that's going to be available or that's out there that might be a stopgap for you if you draft somebody this year that you can develop? Or are we just going to do the rookie quarterback thing next again?
I mean, if Arthur Smith stayed, I would have said Tannehill.
Yeah.
Because that's a guy we've had success with.
Yeah.
And I think that's all we needed was...
A guy like Tannehill.
Just a good enough quarterback who doesn't throw interceptions.
Right.
But...
That used to be Flacco until last night.
Whew, that was ugly.
Back-to-back pick sixes.
Man. And they
had
pick
Flacco
six all year.
On our list of things to talk about today. Oh, I scratched him off.
Now, I would take Flacco.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be 39 next year or something.
But
like,
I would have taken him this year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think it's... It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah.
Now, if your Cowboys lose, I think there's going to be a vacancy.
Ooh, let me tell you about that. Well,
And now, if let's assume that happens.
Let's play. I do assume it happens. Yes.
That they lose, and then yes. You want Dan Quinn?
If they let's put a pin in that for just a second.
All right.
Because if they lose today.
Mm-hmm.
Which they will play in Green Bay today, or they lose next week.
It's in Green Bay?
Yeah, no, it's in Dallas. It's
Okay.
We're a two seed, man. Let's go. Here's something else to talk about. Dallas Cowboys, a two seed.
Hey.
All right, so because the wheels came off of Philadelphia, I don't even know.
That's
they're only the second team in NFL history to start season 10-1 and not win their division.
Yeah, that's wild.
Anyway, but if we lose this week or if we lose next week even,
mm-hmm.
McCarthy's gone.
You think it's if he doesn't?
If he didn't make it to the NFC Championship, at least, and there's part of me
so
that if he doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, Jerry Jones is 81 years old, and he's like, I don't have time. And there's
man, what
too
a weird man.
There's too much like high level coaching talent available right now.
Yeah, yeah.
For him not to do that, but if McCarthy is available, that would be a nice piece, I think, for Falcons. Maybe.
I mean, that's an idea.
That's a direction.
Because at least it's someone with head coaching experience,
right?
Because the name a lot of people keep throwing around is Belichick.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think, Belichick has just proven, like, I mean, he's drafted and stuck with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think
he can bring Mac Jones with him.
But I think we kind of know, I would take Mac Jones, but I think we kind of know Mac Jones isn't the career, or isn't the franchise quarterback.
He's nobody's answer.
And then there's a whole, like, making Matt Patricia the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a defensive coordinator
bring
calling
Saban
offense.
To bring Saban to be your defensive coordinator.
Well, but like just the recent history of Belichick has me kind of shying away from it.
You're bringing Josh McDaniels.
Chances are that's going to be who's wherever because Belichick's going to get a job.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
And chances are
he does bring one of our teams.
Yeah. Chances are he does bring McDaniel as OC. But I mean, whoever hires him, you're going to be hiring a new coach in 2 years.
Well, that's probably going to happen anyway. That's what you guys do.
Well, but like, I mean, Belichick's 70, he's going to be 72 when the season starts.
Something like that, yeah.
The oldest coach ever was 73.
Yeah, but he's a different kind of guy.
But you thought the same thing about Saban.
You're going to have him 3 years at least. And
that's what
you guys do.
Yeah.
That's what you have. And that's pretty typical for the NFL.
Yeah.
And if you could get a franchise rebuilt in 3 years, I don't know.
But it's,
I'm with you, though. I understand you don't want the old horse.
I don't want the old horse who's...
No matter how many races you won before, you're old now.
Who's been making weird
bad
choices.
Decisions, yeah. Yeah, no, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, so, we'll and obviously if he comes here, I'll be happy. But right. I don't think that's...
All right, do you have a spirit of excitement, though, regardless of who comes? I feel like it's time to start again. If you can get that quarterback solved, you got everything else.
But everything, my problem is right now I don't trust the organization to do the right thing.
Did you guys keep your
defensive coordinator?
GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everyone else is in place. Just Arthur. I know you kept your defensive coordinator. Yeah. You're trying to hold on to some of these guys.
Well, and that's what's weird is, like, we keep blocking the defensive coordinator from interviewing elsewhere, but it's like...
Just for the same... It's for parallel jobs.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's weird, though, because it's like if...
Maybe he's the head coach.
I mean, maybe.
He's done a great job.
I mean, he's been a coordinator for a year.
And you're going to lose your coordinator, and defense is going to not be good anymore.
So it's all, like... Maybe I want to be optimistic, but it's hard to be when,
because you're a Falcons fan.
Sure, but also it's like we keep making the same move.
Maybe you see if Ronald Acuna can play quarterback.
I would take it. He's athletic enough.
I bet he can.
Yeah, but all right. I think we're good there.
All right. Well,
there's too much to talk about.
Let's talk a little bit about the Cowboys then, and Mike McCarthy and his situation. So the Cowboys are the 2 seed. Is this a big, sad, or fun story? I think it's fun.
I think it's fun. Yeah.
I think it's also big.
It's a big fun thing.
See, because it's a big fun thing because that's going to probably quickly become sad. So we're
enjoy it for now.
We are lined up against one of our great historical playoff rivals in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Green Bay, you won't remember this because you were a child, but Green Bay, we beat Green Bay back to back years to go to Super Bowls.
Mm.
We beat them. In the playoffs on the way to Super Bowl.
You were the first team to beat Green Bay and Lambeau in the playoffs?
It was Michael Vick, yeah. I believe. Yeah, I remember that. I watched that game. So Green Bay, that was Brett Favre's day. Mm. Aaron Rodgers had our number. Here's a stat I just heard this morning on the way to the studio. That Green Bay has never lost a game in this new stadium that we have in Jerry World.
Jeez.
Now, they had a different quarterback every time we played them before. Historically,
but this guy doesn't seem bad.
We've got two of the worst moments of my Cowboys experience have come at the hand of Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs at Green Bay in the playoffs with the catch that was ruled not a catch.
Yeah.
And then that... Rodgers rolling left, hitting Jared Cook with a dime, and that wobbly kick, Mason Crosby. Both of those eliminate the Cowboys from the playoffs and when we had great teams and could have won the Super Bowl either one of those years. Now, they don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore, but Jordan Love's coming on.
He looks pretty good.
We are favored, I think, by 7.5, 8 points right now. We should win the game. It mm-hmm. shouldn't be a contest, but we're talking about Green Bay and Dallas in the playoffs. And so... You never know what's going to happen. I'm nervous. McCarthy playing his old team. I assume we're going to lose this game, but I would like to see Dallas come out and actually end this narrative of Green Bay beating Dallas in the playoffs.
I mean, I think y'all have a good defense which is going to keep you in the game. I mean, so that's why I think it could be interesting.
Yeah.
But what I was going to ask you earlier, and I don't know if you answered it or not, do you want Quinn?
Oh, yeah, right. I put a pin in that one. Let's take the pin out. I want Quinn to do what he's doing right now.
But, like, if McCarthy goes, because Quinn's going to get offered the job in Seattle.
Absolutely. Seattle has got his name written all over it, right?
So if it's keep him as a head coach or lose him.
I don't know. That's a
tough one.
It is a tough one because it depends on who would the option. I have the same feeling about Belichick as you do. It's a little old. I don't really want. I'm interested to see who he would bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So because I think that's going to be the foundation and future of the franchise. That being said, you know, you also have Jim Harbaugh is sitting right there.
Yeah.
And that just has Dallas written all over it. So
that does sound like Dallas.
Quinn, I like Quinn a lot. I like what he does. My experience with him as a head coach has been that he doesn't quite know how to do it. So,
well,
and maybe that's
and,
different
and
now.
And now it's a little bit, a lot of this is revisionist history.
Sure.
But we did go to Super Bowl.
I do think, that's exactly right, because Kyle Shanahan was your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and Mike McDaniel was the, he was an assistant.
I will say I like Dan Quinn a lot. If we ended up having Dan Quinn in a world where we won the Super Bowl, this is not a conversation. But,
yeah,
let's just put that out there.
But we're talking coaches. So
in a world where this becomes a sad rather than a big or fun, I will say that I would not be crushed if Dan Quinn was our head coach.
Gotcha. Right. That's a good answer.
Good answer.
Jerry Jones seems to like him.
He does, and he's paid him a lot of money to stick around and turn down head coaching jobs. So there's a sense in which Dan Quinn thinks he's going to be the next head coach,
which is what makes it interesting. But I mean, I think it's going to be a good game.
Let's see. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited about it. Cowboys in the playoffs, always fun. Two seed. If we can get somebody to beat the 49ers, we'll have the NFC Championship at home. I'm already thinking ahead. This is good stuff.
That's because that's the
I don't know who would do it.
Great white whale is the 49ers for y'all.
That's right. Well, that, just like it was in the 90s, man.
Yeah.
You know, we beat them twice on the way to Super Bowls, too. We beat Green Bay, and then we beat them, and then we go to Super Bowl. That used to be the way it was, and that's the way it's going to be this year.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
But let's talk about something else. Let's move to some of these coaches we've been floating these names around. We've got two of the greatest, in fact, the two greatest. You got the greatest NFL head coach of all time, Bill Belichick, and you've got the greatest minor league football coach of all time, Nick Saban. Both of them in back-to-back days, the same day.
Back-to-back days.
One of them decides to leave.
Within 12 hours.
One of them is leaving, getting fired, leaving, mutual understanding, kind of how you break up with a girlfriend. Belichick's leaving the Patriots, but Saban retires.
Yeah.
And it seems like
wild.
Came from nowhere, out of nowhere.
Well, and there have been like whispers about like, could this be his last year? Because this was kind of a tough year for Alabama.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would leave just because it was tough.
And I think a lot of it, man, he's 72.
Yeah, he's ready.
He's like, you know, what more does he have to prove?
Nothing. He never did. I mean, well, you know, not in the last.
He like, and I mean, I guess to say that he could win one in the NIL era, but he just, I mean, he was in overtime.
Yeah.
With the inevitable champs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that with a team that wasn't his best team.
Right.
I mean,
that's right. That's the thing.
Like, this wasn't the super team that he's had before.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think dealing with Milroe was tough.
Yeah.
Because you have a guy who's ultra talented but makes some boneheaded moves, which Saban has never been a fan of boneheads.
So what happens to Saban now? He moves to TV?
You know, that's going to be interesting to see, because a part of me thinks he just goes to the lake. And, you know, because
it just says, I'm going to spend some of this money I've been making.
Yeah. And, you know, now, I don't think he'll, like, if he goes to the lake and retires, within 2 years, he's the defensive backs coach at Raymond County High School. You know, I mean, Miss Terry is not going to want him around that much. Now, I could see him going to TV, because we've seen with Pat that he has more
charisma.
Yeah, he does
have that charisma. I saw a little clip that he showed me, but
And like, because everyone always thought that he was just a robot, and it's like, no, he's just kind of like Belichick,
exactly.
He doesn't want to say anything more than he has to, so he kind of goes robotic in pressers, except when he's yelling at reporters, which is always fun.
Now, let me throw something out there, though.
Yeah.
Okay, because we know Saban won a championship at LSU. Then he tried his hand out at Miami for a little bit, and then he went.
And people say he, like,
There were reasons. It wasn't just him.
But it wasn't. We've seen worse head coaches.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He did not sully his name with his Miami situation. Because then he went back to Alabama, and his stats at Alabama, I'm going to read a couple of them here in just a minute, but is there any chance? Do you see any chance? I don't think Saban wants to coach in the NFL as a head coach anymore, but if Belichick shows up somewhere and says, hey, come be my defensive coordinator for a year or two, wouldn't that be a super
team? I could see him go as a defensive analyst.
Yeah.
I don't think he... I don't know if he wants
defense
to.
Defense is his specialty, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he wants, because a coordinator is a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I don't,
but
you know,
not,
I could
it's
see
not
that.
As much work as being a college coach. I mean, you don't have to recruit.
Yeah, you don't recruit. He can just watch film.
There's
and
part of me that's like, dude, what
that would be
if?
So wild.
Because
they
if?
Worked together for all those years.
Uh-huh. We're getting the band back together, man.
Yeah.
And then you bring in, like, I don't know, who's offensive mind, you know, that's available, you know, that were Josh McDaniels would be another one.
Yeah.
Be offensive coordinator. Like, or, man, you get Lane Kiffin off at a Miss, but that's not going to happen.
The one thing I did think, and we're going to get back to this, but I've got to say what's on my mind.
Yeah, please do.
It was funny seeing the, like, who was rumored to go to Alabama.
Yeah.
Because you knew that it was just agents looking for raises.
Definitely, yeah.
Because, like, four people got a raise. And I'm, like, I'm assuming it's the four people who Alabama talked to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, the Penn State guy, James Franklin.
Yeah.
His name kept showing up on lists. It's like, there's no, they are not looking at you, bud.
No.
You are a good coach. You're not that good.
He's flamed out in a couple of places as well.
Yeah.
He's good. He's good.
He keeps losing to Michigan.
Back to Saban for just a minute. Yeah. A couple stats that I learned over the course of the last week as people have been talking about his retirement, and these are the ones that stuck out to me. I'm sure there's plenty of others. You may have a couple of even memories of Saban you want to talk about, but the one that really stuck out to me is that he has had more kids drafted in the first round than he's had losses during his time in Alabama. That's crazy.
Was the game of the century, the LSU at Alabama. I think
was that the 9-6 game?
Yes. It was the 2011. I was there. I was at Alabama at the time.
Okay, cool.
And it was like, but one of the things where it's like, when you look back at it, it's like at any given moment, there are 10 or more players who like win the first round or are playing in the NFL. And you're like, wow.
I know, that's insane.
That is just two like superpowers.
The other thing that maybe is even more... maybe sticks out more for the kids themselves is that if you went and played for Saban in Alabama and you stayed there all 4 years, you won a championship.
Yeah.
There's not a kid.
So wild.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, all of the first, like the process, as he would call it, which is like, in his words, I don't know how, but it was like, I'm not really coaching against the other team. I'm coaching against perfection.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, the wins will come by as a byproduct of us striving for perfection, which is interesting.
Right. And I heard him say that it's not even really about winning championships. It's just stick to this process and the fruit will come.
You know, it does.
What you want will come, but you have to give the mind to the process and not to the outcome.
Yeah.
You're not moving toward the goal. You're not moving toward the destination. You're on the journey, right?
Or something like that. Which is, it's wild.
It's a good way to think about life.
But he was incredibly successful doing it, and put a lot of guys into the NFL.
Yeah.
And won a boatload of championship rings.
Yeah. And made a lot of money.
Made so much money.
Again, but it's, I mean, the greatest minor league coach.
And as Alabama said, like, it's our best investment because people from out of state apply because they see us winning the national championship every year. And out of state tuition is a lot of money.
They have to say something because he's the highest state employee.
Yeah, but like the president said, there's been a high return on investment there, which is wild.
I don't know if they've made money as much money back as they've invested in him, but that's okay.
I'll take the president's word.
We talked about Belichick and Saban. Let's talk about two lower, maybe not as important coaches, but still big names. Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And Vrabel.
Vrabel
was completely out of left field.
Well, and it seems like over there's a disconnect with, it seems to be like GM and owner on one page and Vrabel's on another page.
Yeah.
And that's...
But he's done a great job. He's coach of the year like
coach of the year
ago.
Last year. Yeah. two years ago. But
what's up?
Had a lot of success, but then like they traded away AJ Brown. And because he was kind of saying like he was kind of holding out, but I've seen interviews with him where he was like, I mean, I wasn't really holding out. I just, you know, wanted to get, you know, it was just a contract negotiation.
Yeah.
But I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay there.
Nope.
And they traded him for like basically nothing.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's
that's not a variable decision though, is it?
No. And you could see him on draft night, not a fan of that.
I think he kind of
walked out of the war room.
Now, I know Arthur Smith's connection with Vrabel, but is Vrabel at all a possibility for the Falcons? Or
I don't think Vrabel. I think because of Arthur Smith, he's not coming here.
Yeah, okay.
It's another one where it's like, I think Arthur Smith will go wherever Vrabel goes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we could see, because I think out of all the coaches, he is, in my opinion, the best one.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's had the most recent success.
Available.
Yeah, out of the ones available. So I mean,
and he's not 70+ years old.
Like the best job open is probably the Chargers,
right?
Because you have a franchise quarterback, you have a lot of pieces.
You got a lot of everything you need already.
You could see him going there.
What about Pete Carroll, man?
Oh yeah, another stalwart of his, you know, his franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild.
Now,
I would love to know what exactly happened there.
Well, and so what I've heard is that he's leaving the coaching position, but that he may have a role in the front office or something like that, which indicates that he wants to coach. I mean, he said he wants to coach.
Yeah. And I think it was like a...
And Seattle's like, well, that's great, but...
Yeah, which is weird because, I mean, I don't see all these amazing coaches that people think that they're going to get who are going to be better than what they have.
Right.
I mean, Pete Carroll is... I mean, I guess they're going to go after Dan Quinn hard.
Yeah,
and, you know, keep the good times rolling.
And maybe
but
that's
Pete
how
Carroll is definitely... I mean, he's won a Super Bowl and a national championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Yeah.
That's hard to do.
That's an impressive
legacy.
Although
I think that national championship might have been vacated.
Oh, yeah. but he's got to be a hot...
Should have won two Super Bowls. I can't believe he didn't hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch.
But even that, like, making it to two is pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
I mean, I think we get jaded by, like, you know, the Patriots run.
Yeah.
Where they were in it every year.
Yeah.
But, like, making it to two Super Bowls is very hard.
Yeah, especially back-to-back. I mean, yeah. Let's go. So, all right. So, we've talked about these four coaches that have either retired or leaving their have left their franchises. There's like something like eight vacancies open, or there was not too long ago. There's one name that's kind of sitting over here that's not quite in the conversation yet, but might be very soon, because he just won the national championship of minor league football, or what other people call college football. And he beat Washington, whose head coach is now the head coach of Alabama.
Man, that's like Alabama
yesterday.
For you.
Yeah, right. They don't mess around. They're like, okay, come on.
What's that? You were just in the Natty in year two of your rebuild.
So talk to me. So is this big, sad, or fun? Michigan wins the national championship.
That's big. That's big.
That's huge. Harbaugh finally accomplishes what he set out to do like 10 years ago at Michigan.
Seemingly.
Or whatever.
Man, like, I mean, there was talk of firing him a lot.
Yeah, I know, right? And yet he was like, I'll just stick with it. But now he's under investigation, and who knows what
he
was about to happen. I think he's
gone.
About to leave, right? Done what he set out to do.
If I'm like... Hey, he won the national championship. Leave Michigan holding the bag. They'll be okay. They just won a national championship.
Now,
get back to the NFL.
Let me mention something that is sad, briefly, is that all of your predictions last time we were on the air together, they all went in the tank.
Just kaplooey.
You had Alabama win a national championship over Texas.
Wrong. But I will say, though, both the semifinal games were close.
They were good, and they were all good. Whatever four teams you're going to put in there, they did a good job.
Yeah.
These were good games.
Yeah. Now, I mean, slight detour. I mean, Georgia.
What did Georgia do to the B team?
Did we talk about that last episode?
I think we talked about how they got disbanded. And they beat them down so bad that FSU is in probation now.
Yeah.
They put them in probation because of how bad they lost that game.
Man, like I was saying, any other week, that's the main story.
That's the main story, right?
And that's what's getting coverage all the time, is the fact that FSU is now under 2 years of probation. I think they're losing five scholarships per year.
No, this was because
I don't know all the NIL protocols.
Yeah.
But they say there's two level two violations, which could be like paying players before they sign.
Right.
Or like the coaches directing players to the NIL collective.
So two things to say about this real quick. Number one is I thought we were done with this. I thought we were done with the probation and the penalties for paying players because the NIL. I understand we're not. That's okay. Number two, if Florida State doesn't get all upset about being left out of the college football playoff, if their state legislature doesn't try to file a lawsuit against the NCAA or whoever,
you know, you start shaking the tree.
Is it shocking to us now that
no,
all of a sudden here, you guys are under probation?
And I mean, and then they were like suing the ACC.
Exactly, yeah. They got that whole thing going on for $120 million or whatever the release clause is.
I mean, it's, you shake the tree too hard, something's going
to
come down.
It's a good time to be a Seminole is the point. Let me go back to the Harbaugh here for just a second, though.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens? Do you see a landing spot?
He ends up in the NFL.
Do you see where? Or do you know? Is there some? I mean, I guess the Chargers look really attractive, probably.
The Chargers are the pretty squirrel of the ball.
Yeah.
Cowboys
could be available.
And I mean, that does sound like a good fit.
Harbaugh and Jones get along with each other?
No.
It could be the spark. It could be the spark that leads to championship.
Because
that's how we do
it. Jerry Jones is going to want to claim credit for it.
Do you think Jim Harbaugh cares about that?
Yes.
I would figure if he had that kind of respect, he wouldn't wear those khakis all the time. But I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, because like out of all these teams, like Carolina also needs a coach. And they're the least desirable.
No one wants to go there.
No, but like someone has to.
They should just shut that franchise down.
And so, I think I could see him with the Raiders.
Can we just
kind of bring back the bad boy attitude?
Let's agree that the Carolina football experiment failed, and that franchise needs to be retracted. Its players need to be distributed, and we need to just end that fantasy of a dream that is Carolina football.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, you got the owner throwing drinks in fans' faces.
Give Bryce Young another year of eligibility at Alabama. He can go back.
Oh, my God.
Because obviously didn't count as professional football.
Him and DeBoer's system would be like, would be wild. But, yeah, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Like, someone's going to take that job.
Yeah. And it could be me or you.
Honestly. But so that's why it's like... It's once the first domino fell with New England hiring that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Mayo, like the head coach in waiting.
Jared Mayo.
Yeah.
Which who no one knew he was in waiting, right?
I mean, yeah.
Kind of like.
That was a secret.
I've been here the whole time. And now he's the head coach of the New England Patriots when everyone was like, well, Vrabel's going to go back there and do that job, right? Because it's the Patriot way and all of that nonsense. And so it's like, who was going to follow Belichick and who had the courage, the guts, the wherewithal and knew the system well enough to follow Belichick behind, you know?
And, yeah. And Vrabel had kind of mentioned
that Belichick drafted.
Yeah. Right? Vrabel mentioned like kind of wanting to go back a little bit. So that's why it was interesting. But yeah, I mean, so the first domino has fallen. It's going to be interesting to see the first out of house domino.
Yeah.
Cause then there's going to be a run.
Yep.
And
do you think,
and I definitely think, what's his face? Harbaugh is going to the NFL.
I think that's a given.
Yeah.
So one last question on that then is of the teams that are still in the playoffs. And by the way, Houston dismantled the Browns last night and the Chiefs in -4 degree weather. I don't know if you watched that game.
I did.
You see Patrick Mahomes' helmet shattered in the cold.
I felt bad for
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
But is there a coach in the playoffs other than McCarthy who could lose a game and be available? Or
Sirianni.
Yeah. And the Eagles don't mess around.
No,
they don't.
Rumors that he's
Peterson.
He
won a Super Bowl and like kind of messed around and the year after and he's gone.
And there's rumors that he's kind of lost the locker room.
Well, clearly something's happened there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on there.
Yeah. AJ Brown's hurt, not playing.
But that's weird. I saw that too. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. So I got one other. I got two other points here. Two other news stories to talk about, Edward. The last one here that's of any real importance is this whole Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Kimmel thing.
This is definitely in the fun.
This is the fun for us.
It's fun for us.
Now, let me give you my read on what I think's happened here, and you tell me if I'm close or if you have something else going on here.
I will act as if I'm a true knowledgeable.
From what I understand,
truly knowledgeable in this.
Rodgers, I think, and you know my theory on Rodgers is that he's trolling everyone all the time.
Yeah.
And he's been doing this for years. And that he doesn't actually mean half of what he says. He's just there's no darkness retreat. Like, he's just doing these things, right? And one of the things that he did last year, as we all recall, is he did that whole I'm immunized thing, right? Instead of saying he was vaccinated because he didn't get vaccinated, apparently, right? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Who knows? But apparently he didn't because he doesn't want to put that in his body. And he plays the role or the character, I'll say, of a conspiracy theorist kind of guy. Jimmy Kimmel, on his show, made fun of Rodgers for that. And they have a little back and forth or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Epstein thing happens in the meantime. Rodgers makes a joke. Or perhaps even just knows that there's a list of people that are associated with Epstein that's going to come out. Now, this is last year. And Kimmel made fun of that. Made fun of the fact that there's this list or whatever, right? And so when Rodgers is on the air with Pat McAfee last week, 2 weeks ago.
I always feel bad for Pat for getting drug into these.
I know, right? And he said so himself. He's like, I think I'm kind of glad, right? Rodgers makes a joke. You know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, including... Jimmy Kimmel are going to be unhappy that the list is being undone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I think Rodgers meant by that, if you go back and look at the full context of this entire year-long situation, as far as I understand how Aaron Rodgers explained it, but also just if you look at it, this is what he meant. He was not insinuating that Jimmy Kimmel was on the list or that Jimmy Kimmel is, you know, associated with Jeffrey Epstein. He was saying that Kimmel made fun of him for saying there was a list.
Oh.
And so
see,
when
I didn't know that.
That's what I think.
I didn't know that part of it.
See, and I don't think a lot of people did because they don't know the full context. So if you go back and look at the full context, what Rogers is saying is there's a lot of people going to be unhappy when this list is released, and including people like Jimmy Kimmel. But his point wasn't, now he did not make this clear because he's Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
But his point was that Jimmy Kimmel's going to be unhappy that there is a list because he made fun of Rodgers for saying there was a list.
Gotcha.
Now,
Jimmy Kimmel
took that to mean, oh, he thinks I'm on the list. And he went way serious, and rightly so.
It's a pretty large insinuate. Like,
yeah, that's the worst thing I think you can be accused of, right? You'd rather be accused of being a murderer before being on this list. Now, But Kimmel clearly, I think, in my mind, clearly misunderstood that and responded in not only on Twitter or X, but
we'll
also did an 8-minute unfunny monologue on his show.
I need to watch the monologue.
It's not good. It's not funny. It's not great.
But
he's got a room full of writers, and this is what he comes up with. It's not good. And then Rogers responds to that by saying, look, I didn't say he was on the list. I didn't insinuate that at all. I'm sorry that he misunderstood me or whatever.
Yeah, but he gave I'm sorry that you're hurt.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
He's like, and then he took some time, I think, to kind of explain the full context, which is what he was trying to do. I never said you're on the list. I said basically, you know, you made fun of me for saying there was a list. Anyway, a mess. And internal to the ABC and Disney is another interesting factor of this.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, Pat McAfee's right in the middle of it. What's interesting about that is then this week they said Pat McAfee's like, okay, guys, Rogers is done coming on the show. It's the end of the season. It's not like he's fired or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like done on the show. He's not coming on the show anymore and good riddance. And then Rogers comes back on the show the next day. So it's almost like what do you think of all of this? Okay, so I've laid the whole thing out. What do you think?
I mean, I think Rogers is a weird dude.
That's an understatement.
And I think Rogers also kind of knew what he was doing. I think he knew that what he said was going to insinuate.
Yeah.
But then once he saw that, then he was like, let me backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
But let me backtrack, but not apologize. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't think either party is really in the right.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing that's going to be dropped and moved on.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I also thought it was funny that people were accusing Pat of being a sellout because he wasn't having Rodgers. Like, Rodgers isn't on after the regular season ever.
Yeah, that's that.
I mean, he'll drop in, you know, occasionally.
Right.
But also, I mean, he can kind of come on whenever, but his Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays are over.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird situation. I did see on a pro wrestling show, there was a big sign saying, like, Kimmel's on the list. And it's like, all right, guys.
well, as soon as Kimmel says something at all.
Once you give credit, yeah.
Especially when you spend 8 minutes on your, basically what's a comedy show.
Yeah.
You know, doing this monologue about Aaron Rodgers, that's not funny.
Yeah.
In response to this, he came off to me as somebody, I used to like Kimmel, I still do.
I think Kimmel has an interesting sense of humor.
It's different, it's offbeat. But I like it, and it seems genuine.
Yeah.
And I like the guy. But his response to this, I wish he hadn't responded like this. I also understand if he really believes that what Rogers is saying is that he was on this list of...
Then I get him being angry.
But I think there's another way to deal with this.
And I need to watch the monologue.
You need to.
Yeah.
And then you tell me what you think about it.
I will.
One last piece of news for today. Man, we've gone through...
This has been a long episode.
Good. This is great, though.
Yeah.
This is good. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but... I won the fantasy football championship in our league.
You did. Congratulations.
I would just like to
say, man, this was such a tough year for fantasy with like not belittling, but like if basically
first thing you say,
if you're,
that's right, it was a tough year for some.
If your quarterback didn't get hurt, you probably won your league.
Yeah. And I had Josh Allen, so
yeah, but like
I got one of the good years for Josh Allen,
but you know, like, with so many injured starting quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, what, we have 60 different starting quarterbacks in the
league
this
year?
Something
like that. I mean.
Now, let me say this. I won the championship in our league, which I'm very proud of. And I appreciate you inviting me into the league so many years ago. This is the first time I've done anything of any quality or value. Now, I run another one that is for a little bit of funding. And I've always been in the top five in that. I've won that championship twice. This year was our 11th or 12th year. This year I got last place for the very first time. Nice. I went 3-12. And let me tell you the story about quarterbacks there. I had Dak Prescott and I traded him. No, I didn't trade him. I cut him after week six because I was like, done. He proceeded to go on like a 25 touchdown.
That's
tear
tough.
After that, I don't think it would have saved my 3-12 season,
but it would have helped.
But it couldn't hurt.
Yeah,
because I was in quarterback. I had Jake Browning, I think, for the last two games.
I mean, I know someone who drafted like Russell Wilson. It's like, I'm expecting a big bounce back year. Oh, and it's like, that didn't work out at all for you.
Russell Wilson's going to be the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons next year.
Man.
You heard it here first.
What makes me mad is I don't think you're wrong. You know?
Yeah.
And we're going to end up stuck with 80-year-old Russ.
Yeah.
Who can't cook anymore.
He's had
his cooking license revoked.
Let him bake.
Let
him eat cake.
Falcons country, let's ride, I guess, is what we're about to be hearing.
All right, it's a great conversation today, Edward.
Yeah,
thank you so much,
thanks
guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
See ya.